Welcome. This is Christopher Holmes on Zero Point Radio Show through BBS Radio. My background, I'm a mystic. I'm a PhD psychologist and scientist, and I've studied widely spiritual occult teachings as well as modern science. And also, I study a lot now the what's happening in the world, on the world scene, because we're in such a precarious and dangerous time, and kind of a critical time, as I see it, in the history of humankind. Well, today it's Christmas, so I guess it'll have to be a bit of a Christmas show, at least for, I'd like to say some things about Christmas and open with that, and I have one guest on who's coming on the half hour, and then a second guest for the second hour. And we'll be addressing more social issues and things happening in our society at this time. But I'd like to start, just say some things about Christmas and how I see it as relating to what's happening on the world situation. I was very lucky in that I grew up in a good Christian family. My father had been a Canadian military officer and stationed in England during the war, where he met my mother, who was British, and they were married during the war, and I was born just after the war when my father was still in the military. In fact, I grew up in a military family, living at different bases, And have lived almost all my life in Canada, and particularly within Ontario, and was very fortunate to grow up in a good Christian family where my parents really didn't just speak the Christian line, but also embodied it in terms of having a loving home life and being fair and just generally in their dealings with us as children. And Christmas is always such a special time, and the gift giving is so nice, and the kind of family time and the meals together and having time with the people closest to you. So there's something very sacred about Christmas and the fact that it symbolizes for us the birth of Christ, which is very interesting as an aside, because I've just had some discussions with a fellow who maintains that actually Christ's birthday was probably in the spring, because he said to be the Lamb of God, and that the date of December 25th, in a way, I'm not sure how that came about. And not that that's even an important issue, because the fact is, whether or not that was actually the birth of Christ, in a way it doesn't matter, because that's what it symbolizes for Christians, and that's when we celebrate that occasion. And it's interesting, as I grew up, you know, when I was a young boy, I was an altar boy in church, and at times I remember having very deep kind of religious feeling and realizing the sacrifice of this person called Christ and what that really meant and how horrific that must have been. And so being affected fairly deeply as a child by basic Christian message and learning in my life to try to follow goodness, like to embody goodness in my life. I have a very strong sense of justice. I'm also a double Libra. And the symbol for Libra is scales of justice. And I'm a double Libra, meaning I was born in October 7th, which is in the Libra period. And I had Libra in my rising sign, like it was just coming over the horizon at the moment I was born. So I'm a kind of a double Libra. So I have this deep sense of justice and fairness. I think that's often characteristics of Libras. But anyway, over time I kind of fell away from the church and as I got into my teens and didn't see a church attendance as really being the critical thing towards being a Christian. I always felt it was more what you embodied in your life than whether or not you attended church. And often the churches became more social organizations, and they in a way got away, I believe, from the Christian message. But in many ways not, too, and there are many very devout Christians around the world of all denominations. But anyway, going on to university, and so I kind of fell away from being an altar boy and kind of grew up and got into more boys' things or men's things and went to university. And there I was mainly exposed to three influences, existentialism, Marxism, and Darwinian evolutionary theory. And it's most curious, recently I've realized that, oh, these are the three main dogmas promoted in the Protocols of Zion. The Protocols of Zion, there's different claims about the origin of that manuscript. Some people maintain that it was actually formulated by a Rothschild in, I think, 1887 or 97, in that period, at some council in Europe, or the first World Zionist Conference in Europe. Other people say it's a forgery and it's an anti-Semitic document, and Henry Ford, who apparently endorsed it or printed the Protocols of Zion, he was called an anti-Semite for it and such. But it seems that, I think, the more authentic scholars claim that it is original. It's not simply a forgery. And in fact, if we look at the Protocols of Zion, we can see how much of what it talks about has all been done within our society. It talks about how a group can kind of conspire and manipulate and deceive people so as to kind of gain control over their resources in the land and how to treat the goyim and such along this. The Protocols of Zion, it's really a megalomaniac, psychotic kind of philosophy. It really very Machiavellian type. It's a really very disturbed philosophy. In fact, it's like the antithesis of Christianity, which is based on, you know, trying to love your fellow human beings and regarding all men and women as your brothers and sisters and children, and overcoming such divisions based on race and creed and ethnicity and such. So anyway, so as I went to university, it further undermined my religious Christian values. Well, I wouldn't say it undermined my Christian values. It undermined more my interest in Christianity as a body of knowledge having truth. Like, in a way, it seemed the belief system and the religion, and it was something separate from science and reality. And so that kind of influenced me at that period. And, you know, the view, in a way, in Darwinianism is that a human being doesn't have a soul or spiritual nature. We're simply biological organisms that live and die with the material body, and that's it. And that's presented as though it's scientific and in a way, the only possible scientific viewpoint. But really, Darwinianism is very shallow as a philosophy and is, in a way, it's circuitous in its reasoning. It says, like, the survival of the fittest. And how do you know who's the fittest? Well, the fittest survive. In a way, there's concepts in Darwinianism that's very valuable. But people over the past century, through the educational system and such, we've been indoctrinated more and more into this Darwinian view of human beings and the denial of the spirit and soul in human beings. And so modern psychology, I was interested in becoming a psychologist. I am a psychologist now, but in my university period. And at the time, psychology in my studies was defined as the science of behavior and the mind. So human being is generally viewed dualistically as having a mind and a body. And what's lacking in modern psychology is any of the ancient idea that psychology is the science of the soul. And the term psyche actually comes from Greek, and it means soul. It also refers to breath, because in mystical teachings, the soul life is connected to the breath life. Soul and spirit are connected to the breath, that a human being is ensouled through the breath on the body. In mystical teachings, then, the origin of human consciousness in mystical teachings originates out of the heart, and consciousness isn't a product of material organization, and consciousness isn't being created by the brain and centered in the head. In mystical teachings, there's a much, much deeper teaching that really we have this hidden mystical eye connected to the higher dimensional physics of the human heart, that the human heart isn't simply a material organ, but in a sense, there's a psychical heart, a spiritual heart, and ultimately a divine source emanation, a God spark within the human being. This is some of the mystical ideas about how there's a higher dimensional physics to the human heart. And it's through this higher dimensional physics of the heart that a human being is ensouled. And so different mystical teachings all describe a human being as having some divine spark. The Gnostics called it a divine spark. In Kabbalah, it's sometimes referred to as sparks of holiness. Shirley MacLaine referred to the God spark within us. Blavatsky called it the monad. In the yogic Vedic teachings, it's called the Jiva Atma, the individual self. And it's contrasted with the Paramatma, meaning the infinite self. So the idea is that each human being has a divine source emanation, a light and life source within them. And this is actually related to the higher dimensional physics of the heart. The God spark doesn't exist in four-dimensional space-time as we understand this. Rather, the God spark is established in hyperspace or higher dimensional space. In Blavatsky's Secret Doctrine, she explains that creation is the manifestation of the eternal parent space, which has seven skins. And this idea that space is sevenfold is found throughout Kabbalistic teachings, Christian teachings, Vedas, Tibetan Buddhism, Secret Doctrine, Gurdjieff, and all different mystical teachings have this principle of the law of seven. So in a way, I see this monadic essence is established in seven-dimensional hyperspace. And it's a material point beyond perception. It's so small, this God spark, that it doesn't have extension within four-dimensional space-time. So from our point of view, it would appear to be nothing, or like a zero point, meaning a point so small it's beyond the level of our perception. So I've been through the last years trying to explore such notions about the nature of human beings and the origins of consciousness. And my main book is called The Heart Doctrine, which explains these concepts drawing from all different religious traditions and mystical traditions, explaining how this heart doctrine is found through all these sources. Anyway, coming back, I was saying about going to university and kind of being influenced by existentialism, Marxism. I like some ideas of Marx because I was always sympathetic to what I thought was the plight of the common man, and that Marx, the Marxian idea that appealed to me is that people had a right to the product of their labors. And Marx said normally people labor is alienated because a person works for someone else, but they don't get to share in the profits of that. So that's alienation. So the idea, I was always sympathetic to people that people had the right to own their own properties and businesses and such. And that was part of what attracted me to Marxism. And I think there's valuable aspects in it, even though I think it's far more devious now. I see all of these things were far more devious than I ever could have imagined 40 years ago. So I went into university, and the other influence was existentialism. And I was particularly interested in the ontology of Jean-Paul Sartre, who is a very famous existentialist. And he had very brilliant ideas about the enigmas of human consciousness from a philosophical point of view. And even today, 40 years later, I still regard Sartre's insights into consciousness as very profound. And I'd like to try to explain a basic concept. Sartre explained that most objects, in a sense, have self-identity. Like, they are what they are. Like, a table is a table is a table. It is what it is, in a sense. And then he explains, but consciousness is, in a way, consciousness is a form of nothingness. See, a consciousness, he says, whenever you're conscious of something, there's always the intentionality that the consciousness is always of something. So you might be conscious of sensations or thoughts or feelings, but all these things are impermanent and always changing. So Sartre saw man, he said, at the heart of being. It's like there's this nothingness at the heart of being. And in Sartre's view, man had this ultimate freedom then, because his consciousness was always free. See, consciousness was not the thoughts or feelings or sensations. Instead, this is, consciousness is this kind of nothingness at the heart of being, beyond all the things. And Sartre explained that man, a human being, didn't want this essential freedom of consciousness. Instead, human beings wanted to have a fixed identity, to be something, to give them a sense of significance. And Sartre explained how things like owning, like people could own by owning a lot of material things, like people judge you by how much 0 points you have in your bank account, or how white your teeth are, what fancy clothes you have on, and this drive for material wealth to try to give, to satisfy the emptiness in people, thinking that that can be satisfied if I have all the right clothes, or... and I look right, and I own, and that a person thinks that confers something about them. As Gurdjieff says, it would be to conceal their inner nullity, like to conceal their inner emptiness. So Sartre said we try to acquire material things in order to solve this kind of problem of wanting to be something, wanting to have a fixed identity. Okay, so we tried to attain that through having material possessions to fill the inner emptiness. Or other people, you can, through doing things. So the idea in Sartre then is that human beings' consciousness is a form of nothingness at the heart of being. And this is an amazing concept, that somehow consciousness is like a no-thingness, which, because of this no-thingness, we are then able to be aware of all the things. You see, if consciousness were the thing, see, consciousness always exists in relationship to something which it is not. But in itself, it's kind of this no-thingness. And this is a profound idea. And it relates in Kabbalistic teachings. They explain when creation occurred and the infinite being that is the source of life gave rise to individual beings, well, that infinite being had to withdraw from a volume of space to vacate a space. Okay, because otherwise, if he didn't, God as an infinite being, if he didn't vacate a space, well, everything would be swallowed back up in the infinite right away. So God had to create a space where his attributes are withdrawn, and it creates an empty space. And that's called the Zimzum contraction. And in Kabbalistic teachings, it's said that this, in a sense, then, there's this form of nothingness at the heart of being. And in mystical teachings, what we want to, in a way, learn to abide in this nothingness And then we can be illuminated by the inward light and illuminate, because light can exist within space. See, consciousness is also like light. Okay, it's like light within empty space. It's this conjunction of light and space. If we want to understand what human consciousness is, those are two of the most important concepts. So anyway, so that those concepts were actually in Jean-Paul Sartre, even though he was an atheist. He didn't believe that God existed. And that was one of the themes of existentialism, that God didn't exist. That was Nietzsche's philosophy of the Superman, is that God didn't exist. Now we had egomaniacs instead. But I remember as a hearing of graffiti in a washroom, where it is a quote, "God is dead, Nietzsche," and then underneath it is, "Nietzsche is dead, God." And I think that embodies some truth, and that's very funny. Nietzsche's definitely dead, but God, he still has a chance if we can feel him in our hearts. But these mysteries of self are hidden from the masses of humankind. And even the esoteric side of religions has been missed out by the churches and the organizations that arose around those religions. Like, look at what has happened to Christianity in our world today. Most people would consider that America and Canada, along with America, are Judaic-Christian societies, or we used to think that. But if you look at what's happening on the world stage, what's happening is horrendous. We have Christian nation here, the United States, that's over the past 10 years, it has kind of invaded the Middle East and mass murdered millions of people and millions of orphaned children, and all based on lies, all based on the lies of 9/11, that these radical Muslims attacked America. But it's such a joke. And now people around the world, all these wars were based on these lies. There were no radical Muslims hijacking airplanes on 9/11. It was all a fraud. All a fraud. And here we are, a Christian nation. See, I think even as a Christian, the person would have a certain right to self-defense. So as a Christian nation, we would have a certain right to defend ourselves if we were really being attacked. Okay, but here, it's like we're a Christian nation and we're mass murdering people over there, and now mass murdering people in Pakistan, all around the world. America's been mass murdering people for the last 50 years or longer, all around the world. And now we realize all these wars and these crimes are all based on lies. Lies. Vietnam, based on lies. Korea, based on lies. The wars in Central America, South America, all based on lies. All the time. We have completely criminal governments. Now, somehow, a group of psychopaths, deviants, and such have really gained control of our countries. We can't consider ourselves a Judaic-Christian country. Why are we engaging in war crimes? And why do people not care? Does no one want to see the restoration of justice on this planet? See, today, what's happened to Christianity? Many Christian churches, they're into prosperity consciousness. Okay? It's unbelievable. See, why aren't Christians out in the thousands and millions protesting these criminal wars? You see, Christianity today, it's like in the end times in the Bible. It says the Christians are lukewarm and Christ would spew them out. And it's like that's where our churches are today. And the ministers and priests, you know, they're buying into this homeland security system and they sell out their churches. They sell out these basic Christian teachings. You know, the churches today, you know, why aren't people out there protesting the mass murdering of people around the world? But we don't. You know, Christianity is like it's dead in a way. People have lost the essential teachings. Why aren't Christians out protesting the mass murder? We're supposed to consider all people of the world as our brothers and sisters and do fairness and justice. And here, look at the criminal things being done by our governments around the world and now to the peoples of the United States. Your own government, the criminal things your government does to you as people, allowing you to be sprayed with these chemtrails. It's so funny because Americans, you have such huge military forces. You have a military budget bigger than all the budgets of the planet, on the planet of all the countries. And you have soldiers and 100 military people, 140 countries and 700 military bases all over the world. You become this global dictatorial fascist kind of enforcer of New World Order dictates. And the people of the United States, what do? Well, on Christmas Day, all your favorites, they'll be out in church. I remember George Bush going to church and make sure he's seen by the media. What do these people, what goes on inside them? Do you think God doesn't see what's inside people's hearts? Do you think God doesn't know the crimes of these people? How the mass media and the politicians, they use religion. They pretend they're religious. I'm sure the Prime Minister of Canada this weekend, okay, or today, will likely have gone to church and he'll be filmed and he'll have a Christian message. And it's all based on fraud and lies because the Canadian government actually support or is controlled by the people who did 9/11. The Canadian government supports these people and has allowed the Canadian people to be deceived through the criminal media. This has been done in our society. We send soldiers off to war, and those soldiers, those young men and women, they go off believing they're doing something for their country and defending their country, and they're well-intentioned. It's only at the superior levels in these services that the soldiers have been deceived, and the public has been deceived. What's been done is just absolutely horrendous. Sometimes I'd find Gurdjieff talks about bearing the sorrow of our endlessness. And that it's like I find as I've woken up and as just seeing all these tragedies all around the planet, all created by these people, with their lies and the media of lies, what they've done to us as a civilization. They're destroying civilization. They're destroying Christianity. They don't want Christianity. You can't even promote Christianity as a religious holiday in the States. But Santa Claus is okay. Maybe America should found your principle, your nation, on the rules of Santa Claus. Eh? Isn't that nice? Hey, Santa Claus is a Wall Street banker's dream, you know, because everyone gets out and spends so much money on material things that you can't afford, but not to disappoint your children, and people feel so stressed out by Christmas for those reasons. But what do we really embody as a Christian nation? We're not a Christian nation anymore. See, the aim of these Zionist people who have hijacked our nations is to destroy Christianity. And I think very literally to destroy the Christians. I mean, a year or so ago I heard, oh yeah, they imported 20,000 guillotines from China for the FEMA camps in the States. And they got all these camps and they got all these train carts with shackles in it. And this is all being done under your noses all the time. And all these people through our governments and military and police, they're all complicit and go along with this. It's like we have a nation of cowards. We have a nation of people who defy all their oaths to honor and serve their country or to honor and serve God. We have all these ideals, and they're all based on lies. All based on lies. And people think, oh, we have a free society and we have free media. Oh, yeah, our media, you know, your media in the United States, as it is in Canada, is completely, completely criminally corrupted. the media helped stage 9/11. Okay? On that day, they were pre-scripted ahead of time. They fabricated the images of the airplanes flying into the towers. They did those in the media studios. They had all their own actors and actresses online. The whole thing was a fraud. The whole thing. And the media, see, people say, oh, we don't think the media does their job. What you have to realize is the media do their job. The job of the media is to deceive the American public so that you know absolutely nothing about what's being done in your nation. The media intentionally deceived the American public that 9/11 was done by radical Muslims. It's a complete fraud. You think Osama bin Laden and his rain gear brought down those towers. Like, is there anyone with any sanity anymore? How can people imagine such things, that the towers fall down in 15 seconds into their own footprint, and there's nothing fraudulent about that? Or that airplanes fly into the tower and they go, oh, jiffy inside, and then you can't see the plane at all. But see, there were no planes on 9/11, the fabled airplanes. That's my conclusion after studying the evidences of it. It was concocted by your media, your open truth media. Your media are pathological liars. These people are complicit in all kinds of crimes against the American people. Conspiracy to commit mass murder, obstruction of justice, fabrication of criminal evidence. Your media, if you in the United States could enforce your own anti-terrorist legislation that allows you to seize the assets of anyone involved in terrorist activities, and you actually enforce this, you would seize all the media in the United States and take it out of the control of these Zionists who own the media. And Hollywood, and your local newspapers, and your local magazines, and your local textbook publications. These people have so systematically interpenetrated every aspect of our society. Every aspect. The police services no longer serve the American people. When did the CIA ever serve the American people? It never did from its inception. Because it was controlled by these deviant, psychopathic groups.
Hello,
what's
Chris.
Happened to America is tragic. Absolutely tragic. You know, we had the American dream has turned into the American nightmare. And now this nightmare is coming down on the American people. Because in a way, the American people have a lot of karma to pay, as do other people of other nations. America has been, the CIA has likely mass murdered 50 million people over the past 50 years, and the American taxpayer pays for it all. You don't question it. You let them assassinate Kennedy, and there's never any justice. The truth never comes out. Okay, sorry, I had to go offline there for a moment because my first guest isn't yet available. But I'm on the run here, and hopefully the guest will be on at 5, so I'll just continue on. So look at what's been done to America. See, most recently, I spent about 3 to 4 weeks, I did a very intensive study of a video series called September Clues, which is available on YouTube, so anyone can watch this series. And what it's about is a documentary about the news coverage of 9/11. And I'm a forensic psychologist and a clinical psychologist, and I studied the evidences they present in that documentary, examining the media coverage of what actually happened on 9/11. And over time, I realized absolutely that this whole thing was fabricated. All their witnesses were online. They all had media associations. They all bore false witness describing these planes and describing the planes disappearing into the holes in the building. They all, from the very moments, these people were all lined up. and the images of the airplanes you show were shown on TV, they were fabricated within the media studio. And any half-competent person, if you look at the evidence, you'll see that these were fabricated images. Some of their images, the airplanes caused pixel bleed before they hit the towers, as though an airplane in real life can cause pixel bleed. There's so many inconsistencies and absurdities in the media coverage of that day. Like, they had one witness on who claimed to be in Chelsea and saw the explosion in one of the towers. And she's online when the second airplane is supposed to have hit. And she just finishes saying to the host, "Oh, I don't know what caused it. I don't know what caused the explosion in the North Tower." And then you see in the background the airplane come across the screen and an explosion in the second tower. And then she says, oh, there's a second airplane. Another airplane has hit right into the middle of the second tower." Okay. Now, what she says is absolutely absurd. She just told us in one breath that she had no idea of what caused the explosions, and then the next breath she's saying there's a second airplane. See, because she knew what the storyline was supposed to be, and she made a mistake. She didn't mean to. That was Teresa Renault, who lives up there in Manhattan with her husband, producer, Jack Renault, who's got some show on the NBC or ABC, one of the networks, I forget which. It's just that, but that's just one example. You start listening, you see another example is 15 seconds after the second airplane hit the second tower, who do they have as an eyewitness on the street? Eric Shawn. And he's just witnessed the second airplane, and he's saying, I think this is CNN, but I'm not sure. He's saying, "Oh, the fact that there are two airplanes raises the specter that this is a major terrorist event." And online, while they're interviewing Eric Shawn, who saw the second airplane and is raising the specter of a terrorist event, they list his areas that he's a specialist in, like the anthrax and different. And at the very bottom, they say, "The hunt for bin Laden." Oh, Eric Shawn, an expert in the hunt for bin Laden. Wow, aren't you lucky to have him on the radio 15 seconds after the second explosion to begin to suggest to us that it was bin Laden and his reindeer who are attacking America? The whole thing is staged. These people are scripted. They're actors and actresses. They're pathological liars. People, you have to wake up. Your corporate media is criminally oriented. Their intention is to deceive the American public so you don't know your head from a hole in the ground about what's being done to your nation. The corporate media can convince Americans, "Oh yeah, we'll spend trillions and trillions of dollars to shore up the banks because all these bankers have done so much bank fraud they've caused worldwide economic problems, but we better shore them up, and I'm sure they didn't have any even intent." And the media will, if means of propaganda and mass persuasion are so powerful, they can persuade the average American, "Oh, yep, we got to shore it. We can't let Goldman Sachs fail. No, my goodness, no. Will, let's give them trillions of dollars of American money. Trillions of dollars. Your children will be indebted forever." But, I mean, that's only part of the scheme because they're going to impoverish the American people. So you're going to have millions of homeless people. See, the whole thing is such a fraud. But in the media, they bring out their experts. And they got all their experts from all their Rockefeller think tanks, which are all these people who are paid pathological liars who mold and sculpt the American view. The media today is criminal. They not only report the news, they help stage it. Okay, they helped stage 9/11. There was coordination between all five major networks. And that's gone into in this video series, September Clues. They must have had a central control from where this was done. And there's so many enigmas in the corporate media coverage of that day. And this September Clues series, it's only an hour and a half long. It's probably only got about 45 minutes, maybe half of that, actual coverage from the mainstream media. Imagine if you could take the mainstream media coverage of those days and do a good analysis of it. You would just find more and more and more evidences of fraud and lies. These people are pathological liars. Like one news person, media person up on, see, within 5 minutes of the first attack on the first tower, all five corporate media had eyewitnesses on the telephone, okay? And all their eyewitnesses happened to work for the corporate media. Right away, and these people start planting the seeds idea. One says, how unusual, the plane went right into the building and left no evidence on the outside, as though that's a perfectly natural thing, okay? And they start planting these seed ideas, and they create uncertainty, because people, when the trauma like that is occurring, people, it creates cognitive dissonance and uncertainty in people. So you're wondering, well, what's happening? What's being done? And what the media does, they know that. So they create it, and this is why 15 seconds after the South Tower has an explosion, they got Eric Shawn, an expert on the hunt for bin Laden, and he's your expert who witnessed the second plane, which is a complete lie. They had another media person online within 5 minutes, and he claimed he was up on the roof of his building. He had heard a plane and then an explosion. He was up on the roof of his building and claiming that he was looking at a gaping hole in the North Tower. Oh, no, he said, doesn't say the North Tower. He says the second tower. He makes a mistake, okay? Now, he's supposedly up on his roof observing this. And he makes a mistake what tower the hole is in. He says the second tower. There's a gaping hole in the second tower. And the media person, the host, says, oh, yeah, there is a gaping hole in tower number one. And then you hear this witness, he repeats it to himself. Oh, he says tower one. Like he's trying to remember it because he didn't get his story straight. Okay, now he's supposed to be up on his roof observing this firsthand, but he gets the tower wrong. Okay, because he's not really on a roof anywhere. He's scripted, and he's in a room, and he has things written down on a piece of paper. And you listen to all these witnesses, and they all make the most ridiculous mistakes in everything. It begins. You realize this is a complete farce. These people aren't reporting the news. Well, these people, they're part of the perpetration of 9/11. So you want to know, as American citizens, who perpetrated 9/11? Your media was part of it, a central part of it. Because your media, the corporate media, is all controlled by these Zionist influences. Just like they control Hollywood. Just like they control your magazines and newspapers and your AM and FM stations. Okay, they've done this, they've infiltrated it subtly over years, and they have all these psychopathological liars within all these media services that'll go along with what they do. Doesn't mean all the people in your media know about this, they don't. Doesn't mean everybody in CNN knew that they were involved in perpetrating 9/11. That's not true, they don't. It's as you need to know basis, and there's compartmentalization of people, so people don't really understand themselves what's being done. But the media do not report the truth. Their aim of the media is to intentionally deceive the American people, so you don't know, have any objective idea about what's being done to your nation. any knowledge about how the Zionists and Israel and all these financiers, how they've completely corrupted your government, your judiciary, your police, your intelligence community, your universities, your doctors association, the FDA, all their alphabet soup agencies. And the whole thing is based on the mountain of lies, all based on deceit. The motto of the Mossad, of course, is through deception we wage war. And that's what was done on 9/11. Through deception, they waged a war. They waged a war and went over and mass murdered 2 million Muslim and Middle Eastern people. Yeah, it doesn't matter. Oh, yeah, but they get that for oil, for the drug trade, for the military bases, to extend the Israeli empire because they're the chosen people of God and they have the right to mass murder Goyim around the world. Okay? And it's all based on lies. And it's like every government, almost every government person in the United States needs to be charged for war crimes for what they've done. These are criminal wars. But in our society, there's no justice anymore. And now George Bush and Stephen Harper and all these pedophiles and perverts and parasites and psychopaths, they can go out to church on Christmas and, oh, we believe in justice and we support our soldiers. They carry your soldiers back in body bags and they pretend that they support and grieve for the family, all the while knowing all these wars are based on lies. They're lying to the American public about everything they do. When does a government ever do anything to help people, to serve people? They don't. They allow you to be sprayed with chemtrails. They allow your food to be poisoned. They don't want you growing gardens. It is so morally outrageous. It is what's been done on this planet. One wakes up and it's overwhelming in a way. What has happened to humankind on this planet? That we've enabled this to be done to us. And it's not that everybody is in the media is all bad and evil. Like, in a way, they're our own sons and daughters who go into the media and want to go into journalism and want to kind of be a journalist and serve people and report the news. They don't realize when they go in how corrupted it is. It's only once they get in and then they begin to see how much they're scripted and how so many important stories never get any headlines, and they become a part of it and everybody falls into line and does their job. But in a way, they're ashamed of themselves for what they do because they know their inner nullity. And I've had different experiences. I remember once in Ottawa, I went to a press conference on Parliament Hill when the SPP was on, and we had Calderon, Bush, and Harper gathering in Ottawa and then at Montebello Resort for the SPP. And there was a news conference in the morning among people who were in the resistance movement, and a news conference at a big hotel. There was hardly any media there, okay, because the media just generally don't report things like this. Okay, in the very first place. But there were a couple TV crews there. And I had to go out at one point to get more film for my camera. On my way back in, one of the TV news crews was leaving, and I knew it wasn't over. And I said to there was a man, a woman and two men. And I said to them out loud, I said, "You people must be ashamed of what you do. Because I feel such a disgust for these people, for what they've done to us as Canadians and American." And the woman, you know what she said to me? "We are." You see, they are ashamed because they know in their hearts what they've done. And they have various methods of what Gurdjieff calls self-calming to help them cope kind of with what they do. I mean, they have to rationalize it in their own mind, and some good rationalizations, because they say, "Well, if I don't do it, someone else will just do it," which is true. Or they say, or they pretend they don't know. The media try to maintain, what's it called, a plausible deniability. Okay, see, if you really applied the anti-terrorist legislation laws, which is what I'm calling for upon the planet, I think we have to realize who the real terrorists on planet Earth are at this time in human history. And it's not Muslims, okay? It's not. It's these people trying to bring about their new world psychiatric disordered state, new world fascism, okay? They're the same people as behind Hitler are behind these people. Okay, the same people, because Hitler was funded by the Rothschilds and Rockefellers and the eugenicists and Wall Street money and the Bushes and all these people, and Hitler didn't turn out right for them exactly, but they're still at it. They brought all these Nazi scientists and propaganda people over to the United States after the war and took them into the CIA and the media and all. In a way, some people say Germany didn't lose the war, they just moved. But see, it's all a fraud. Even for the German people, it's a fraud. Another experience I had with the media person, I was talking to, or one person once in the media told me, when I explained some of what I would do to try to take back the media, and he said to me, wow, we'd actually have a job again. Hey, it's like, how many people do you think go into the media and they go in wanting to deceive their fellow citizens and wanting to help finance or help the Zionist world order and help to poison their fellow citizens? Do you think people go into the media with these kinds of motives? Of course not. You see, they don't know what they're getting into, and then they become part of it, and then they're afraid to speak out. And if they spoke out, they'd lose their job, or they'd be assassinated, or their character is assassinated. It's so terrible. Our media has become completely criminally corrupted. And after I woke up to 9/11, it was an interesting thing happened in Montreal one day. There was a shooting at Dawson College in Montreal. And I was watching TV that day. And I could tell from the media coverage that something sneaky is going on here. There's something not quite right. And I realized that the media were helping to stage it. That event, that shooting in Montreal, it ends up is supposed to be just this young guy who was kicked out of the military and he had some reason he wanted to go out and shoot people, and he ends up being shot inside the college, and when they shoot him, they drag his body out on the street, which is destruction of a crime scene, and that's all accepted. Oh, that, and everybody's saying, oh, what an awful guy. Now we need to have new gun laws to prevent automatic, semi-automatics in Canada. And a year later, the government has new gun laws, and they pretend they name the new gun law in the name of this person who lost their life, one of the victims. And the government comes out and they pretend they're all so noble and such. But the whole thing was staged. The government is doing these things. They want new gun laws. They do one of their little MK Ultra things. And that's being done in Canada. Dawson College, that was a black operation in Canada. When the G20 met in Canada and they had all this group that came in and the black, I forget their black blocks they called them, and all the media were focused on this black block group, and this group were allowed, the police were standing there, they allowed this group to go around smashing windows and everything and set fire to police car which had been left on the road with very little gas in the car, and they set it on fire. The whole thing was staged. The whole thing was staged, and then the media all focused on the black bloc and the threat of them to Canadians and how we need so many military forces and so on. The whole thing is staged. The black bloc was bound to have been set up by the police themselves because, see, they want to deceive Canadians. They want to undermine the legitimacy of complaints, people who don't want to be brought into the G20 under a bunch of psychopathic mass-murdering people from the IMF and the World Bank. These people are criminals, and the media has to cover this from the public. They staged the black bloc in Toronto. And in Toronto, you had scenes where you had hundreds of police attacking crowds of peaceful people, just out protesting. Okay, the whole thing is staged, and it's all based on deceit. Our media is based on deceit. It's owned by criminals. Okay, and I can talk on, turn on these local talk shows. I mean, it's like a joke for anyone who's informed, and you hear these talk shows where they're supposed to be kind of uncovering things. It's all such a joke, and it's all based on such a mountain of lies. And these people in the media are guilty of very serious crimes against us. Obstruction of justice, fabrication of evidence, accessories after the fact to mass murder. And then those same media, when a Canadian soldier's killed, oh, they'll come out, they'll be so sympathetic, and they'll have their support our troops, and they pretend they support our troops. It's such a joke. Because they're the ones who've deceived the Canadian public. They deceived the Canadian troops. Canadian troops sent to Afghanistan, they're going there based on lies, just like the Americans. And then they're given all these inoculations, and you have hundreds of thousands of Americans suffering injuries from the inoculations, the depleted uranium, the traumas of what they go through and take part in. They come back, more military men murder themselves. They commit suicide afterwards and die over in the Middle East. The whole thing is so criminal. And then you have someone like Pat Tillman, like a true American hero, like a football star, an honorable young man who kind of gave up everything because of 9/11 to go serve his country. And then he goes over there and he starts seeing what goes on over there. And what do they do to him? Shoot him 3 times in the face at close range. Friendly fire. And the media covers it all up. See, that's the role of the media. Oh, I wanted to go back to the Montreal thing because I didn't quite... I remember the one witness, I started taking notes that day as I was watching this thing go on at Dawson College in Canada. And they had one witness, this woman, Tracy Eck. And she was a somewhat attractive younger woman and kind of disheveled blonde hair. And she was their witness who was on 3 or 4 times in this, and she was shown on different networks. And in one of her interviews, she described this sequence. She said that she had been outside of the college when this gunman started shooting people outside. And then she said she was sitting inside the cafeteria having a cigarette with her friend when this guy came in with a huge trench coat and a huge submachine gun and started shooting people. And then she said she escaped out of that room and hid in the bushes outside of the college. Okay, and this is CTV, I think, which is Brofman Vision in Canada. I think it's owned by the Brofman Network. Anyway, so this woman, what she described is absolutely absurd. Well, firstly, if she had seen a gunman outside the college shooting people, then is she then subsequently going to go inside, sit down in the cafeteria to have a cigarette with her friend, and then be surprised when this guy comes in with a huge machine gun? Okay, which she was supposed to have seen him and the machine gun on the outside before she went inside to have a cigarette. I mean, it's absurd. And then when she says she escaped out of the building and hid in the bushes, well, no one else who escaped out of the building when the gunman was inside hid in the bushes. No, they ran down the street to get away. See, her story was absolutely absurd. Okay, and you begin to... And I began to see this. I'm a clinical psychologist, and when I heard her first interviews, I could see her little psychopathic smirk at the end of her testimony, her witnessing. I could see her little smirk on the corner of her mouth turn up, because I could tell that she was very satisfied with what she had done, and it was her acting, the actress debut. You see, and she had this little smirk. And I just, as a forensic psychologist, I worked with criminals for 12 years in prisons. So I'm used to kind of seeing lies in people and detecting things like this. And I could just see it in my face, and I knew something's up. This isn't right. And I watch, there's a whole bunch of other anomalies that occurred through the media coverage of that day. And I realized, oh, the media just helped stage that event. And then you got some young man inside who's dead on the floor, but I don't think he was the shooter outside, because I believe they had an operative do the shooting outside, and the young man ends up being their victim inside, and then they fabricate their story of how it all happened. You see, the media do not report the news. They obscure what's really happening from the public, and they actually help to stage these events. We have a criminally corrupted media. These people need to be brought to task for their crimes, and we need to apply throughout the world the anti-terrorist legislation. Let's seize the assets of who the true terrorists are. And you know what that would do to America? It would pay off your national debt. Instead of giving these bankers trillions of dollars for all the bank fraud that they've committed, seize their assets. Take the money back that they defrauded people of. Seize their assets. You pay off all your debts. Why? How can we allow this to go on? It's so intolerable what's been done to our countries. So anyway, I'm getting a beep, and I'm going to just finish off and we'll move over to our first guest today. But that's what came to me this Christmas. Is, my God, what's become of us? What's become of us as a people, as a nation? What's become of justice in our society? What's become of the police who are so supposed to serve and protect people? Really, our military leaders have committed treason. Our governments rampantly commit treason, war crimes, criminal racketeering. Every day, what's happened is so unbelievably monstrous. It reminds me of J. Edgar Hoover. He says, an individual is handicapped by coming face to face with a conspiracy so monstrous he cannot believe it exists. And that's the case. See, people, you can't believe your media helped stage 9/11. I'm saying, look at the video series September Clues, wake up. Your media don't serve you. And I'm sorry for the people in the media, because they get into it and they're... See, in a way, if we could liberate the media, and then these people would have a job again. And they could go into the media to do what they wanted to do, which was to report the truth and contribute to American society. Anyway, so those are some of my thoughts on this Christmas day and what it means, what's happened to Christianity, and what the Christians today, they're more concerned with prosperity consciousness than they are with justice or protecting the other human beings on this planet. It's almost a person today should be ashamed of being Christian if you look at what the churches do and don't do. The real soldiers of the New Age are those of us in the truth movement who want the restoration of justice and the revelation of all these frauds committed against us. Anyway, that's my Christmas spiel. My Christmas rant. Okay, so I have a guest. Calvin, is that you?
Yes, Christopher. Merry Christmas, and to those who don't celebrate it, happy holidays.
Thanks, Calvin. Thanks for joining me on today, especially not many people want to even have a show on Christmas Day. I guess we all have family things, and I know you're going through a lot in your personal life, so it's nice to have you here today, and you're making the effort. You're another of those I would call the warriors of a new age, like people who believe more in truth and justice and beauty and all these things we were led to believe in that was all such a lie. When did you wake up, Calvin? How many years ago?
Oh, my goodness. I would have to say, Christopher, that I probably woke up in stages, really. It started out when I served the Canadian military, and then some things came to light back in 98, and that's when my journey started. And in fact, what put me onto that was I came across an article, and I don't recall from which military document it was, but it's something about digital angel, which a lot of people talk about microchips and so on and so forth. And most people, when they talk about that, talk about a VersaChip and so on and so forth. But digital angel is another one, and that got me started.
Well, what is that? Can you say, Calvin? Just to stay with that, that's very interesting. I've never heard that. Can you say anything more of what that involves? Like, is digital angel?
What digital angel is a company, and they deal in microchip technology of tagging and so on and so forth, and basically very parallel to what VeriChip does. And that's. They've been using their technology for years and years, decades, I would say, right? From the information that I have. But anyway, it's another company out there that most people don't know about. I mean, I visit various blogs, I get information from different sources, and they always mention VeriChip, but never Digital Angel. But so, just for those,
yeah, thank you.
Digital Angel is another one. So that got me started, and then of course, I mean, as we all know, the watermark was the 9/11 event, of course, of our time. And
did you question that on the day?
To be honest, my first impression was, wow, that's a movie. I didn't see that movie before. But then it really threw me for a loop, of course, when Dan Rather and, of course, all these other celebrity anchors got on and made their comments. And then I thought it was real. And, of course, like most people, we were oblivious to the realities of it. And in fact, I am admittedly say that I was blind to the truth of it until several years later. I'd say about 2-3 years later, in fact. And then, of course,
you did better than I did, Calvin. I watched the event unfold in a prison with a group of men from my unit that I worked. And I didn't even really kind of think about it until almost 5 years later when my youngest son showed me the movie Loose Change, which someone in one of their school classes, there was nothing to do, so some young students showed this movie. And I couldn't believe it. And that was a shock, and it kind of changed. Life is not the same anymore, and it's just like you begin to wake up, and it's just one after another revelation, and it just gets worse and worse and worse.
It certainly is quite the journey, isn't it?
Yeah,
yeah, for sure.
I hate it.
Once the floodgates open, they just pour out, and you realize more and more and more truths, I've gotten involved in many different aspects and circles of different fields and different topics and so on and so forth, ranging from various monetary topics to other politics, and now, with bio and geoengineering with the Carnicom Institute. So, yeah. But like you said, the 9/11 was the true pivotal moment, and then, of course, everything really ran its course from there.
Yeah, I feel also that it's the Achilles heel of the elites, because there is now such overwhelming criminal evidence that it was a fraud. That and if it was exposed, if the true perpetrators of 9/11 were brought to justice, it would just unravel the whole thing.
Well, again, because I've gone off in different branches and different circles, I see that all of these various flags, false flags, or events and other things that's going on, the events going around in the world, are interlinked. And I will mention again, about what we're doing with the Carnicom Institute and, of course, bio and geoengineering. I mean, all of these things are interlinked, from the aerosol spraying to the HEART program to military, to the monetary system. The whole thing is one majorly insidious web that's all intermixed, and there's no denying it. Once you really look at the facts and really dig into it and not be afraid to take the webs from our eyes and to open our eyes and to, be objective.
Yeah.
So,
Yeah, most people believe they begin by saying, "Oh, I can't believe our government would do that." You know,
I only wish.
Or I can't believe our media would deceive us. Like, they can't believe it. You know, it would be nice to be going back to having such naivety.
Yeah, but, I mean, and that's the it's a bitter pill to swallow. You know, the truth, because. And you and I have spoken about this before. Once you learn something, you can't unlearn it. And since you can't unlearn it, and you know, then you have a responsibility to do something.
Yeah.
And you know, ignorance is bliss sometimes. And there has been a part of me in the past that wish I didn't know, but I do know now, and I don't regret it. Although it has brought me a lot of pain, it has brought me a lot of sacrifice and sorrow over the time. But that being said, I wouldn't trade it in. I wouldn't be able to go back. But anyway.
And to think there are millions of us now, I think, in the similar position that we can't go back. Like, we've woken up too much, you know, and we have to be, because we have to do something, or these people will just carry through their agenda, which they're advancing all around the world on all these fronts. We as humankind have to awaken and to rein in these psychopaths, because it's not going to go away. Like, the people who did 9/11 are now in control of the Canadian government, U.S. government, English government, Israeli government, you know.
It's been that way for decades, I would suspect. I mean, of course, I don't have any concrete evidence myself, but, you know, looking back through the past and other false flag events, you know, the elites, and they come from different branches and different sources and different backgrounds, but, you know, their hands are still intermixed in all of these different events and political changes and so on and so forth. I mean, you know, you take the burning of the Reichstag in Germany. I mean, you know, the Gulf of Tonkin, right on up through. I mean, emperors and kings in the past have created false flag events to basically control the people.
Yeah.
And that's always been the case. But
and
what I see
spun it
today,
through the media.
Yeah, of course it's media, right? I mean,
yeah.
It's propaganda, right? And
yeah.
And it's a powerful tool, unfortunately, for us. However, I think that the... Like I see the internet, for example, as a two-edged sword. There can be a lot of good. There can be a lot of bad.
Mm-hmm.
The good part, I think, it's gotten so intertwined in our lives and in our consciousnesses right now that more and more people are waking up because of the fact that information is free and it's hard to stop it. I mean, take the instance of WikiLeaks right now. I mean, you know, there are mirror sites going up everywhere, and now, you know, so it's almost impossible, for example, for information not to get out. So that being said, I truly do believe, I mean, because I talk to a lot of different people around the world and I get reports in and I, you know, see and hear a lot of things, and I do believe that we are reaching a critical mass, if we haven't already, of aware and awake people who are now moving forward. And I am really, truly optimistic. For the first time in history, I think that we're reaching and have reached a pivotal moment. And I do believe that the tide is turning.
Yeah.
So
me too. It's funny. I feel next year is the turning point. I think it's going to start falling apart on these people. I really do.
And I certainly hope so.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you know, when I look at the whole thing, when I look at the whole picture, you know, this planet has so much to give for everybody that none should be in poverty, none should do without. And there's enough resources that we can all prosper. And I don't mean in a monetary basis, because, well, personally, I think the monetary system is corrupt and it's unnecessary, really. But that being said, you know, I believe that there's enough arable land to feed the world easily, over and over and over again. We don't need to rely on fossil fuels. There's technologies out there that we don't need to rely on and that sort of thing, you know.
And
so
we see now
the whole earth has been exploited for the benefit of the few on the backs of many, and I see that coming to an end, and I certainly hope to see it in my lifetime.
Yeah.
And, you know,
And we see how many inventions that have come forward. Like, I got a call, I think it was 3 years ago, from people in England who were interested in zero-point technologies and free energy devices. And they, when they contacted me, they were releasing the next year a prototype of a thing you could put in your kitchen, for instance, and run all your appliances off it. And it just drew from the ambient energy in the atmosphere. So it was like an over-one energy device. But
yeah.
But it's like, you know, the big power companies, they don't want us having free energy, because then people wouldn't have to have such massive bills every month. And
oh, that's right.
It would be...
Back in the Nikola Tesla's day, you know, Nikola Tesla was able to harness electricity from the, you know, the Earth's natural electrical system, and was able to transmit it without power lines. And of course, J.P. Morgan, who was his financier, basically shut him down, because he said, if I can't put a wire on it and put a meter on it, I'm not going to finance it. So
yeah,
you know, he basically crippled Nikola Tesla. Now, that being said, you know, there's, I don't recall exactly where, but I can send you the information once I dig it up. And of course, I've got files everywhere. But there's a group of people in Switzerland, and a commune, if you will, I suppose. But they are a self-sustaining society running on free and clean energy, and they've been doing it, I think, since the late 60s, early 70s.
Wow.
And they have the technology, but they will not let it out, because they've determined that we, as people, are not yet ready for that. And right now, I would tend to agree. Until we change our shift in consciousness and our responsibility to the world and to the future. But you know, but they are running their own little micro society in Switzerland, and have been doing it for decades.
Wow.
Clean, free energy.
Yeah.
And I will send you that information later, and maybe you can you know, look into that for an upcoming show at some point.
Yeah, it'd be very interesting to do that. It's another invention was. Did you ever see the videos of that fellow in California who created a car that he said could go from the west to the east coast of the U.S. on 22 gallons of water?
Is that standard?
And he contacted the military, and they came out, and they took his invention, and then he ended up being poisoned shortly afterwards, and his invention was lost. And
yeah,
I mean, imagine that. The Rockefellers wouldn't be so wealthy, would they? All this oil business is completely unnecessary. We could just use water. And it doesn't give out pollutants. It gives out oxygen from the cars.
Yeah.
Something like that would so change our society.
There's actually some good news in that story. You know, I mean, it's tragic that Stan Meyer died, and you know, and his technology was absconded by, well, various different peoples.
Same old.
Yeah, of course, right, naturally. You're on black shelf, right? But now here's some light in that little story, actually. And there's this group called the Orion Project, and I think you may be aware of it. But they were able to actually recover a large portion of Stan Meyer's work. And they're trying to reestablish and to... Oh, what's the word I'm looking for here? They're basically trying to repeat his work.
Yeah.
Now, so hopefully
back engineer almost, like, yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. Right. Now, again, there's a lot of information missing, because, I mean, shortly after Stan Meyer died of food poisoning 3 days before he was able to get his contract.
Oh, it was 3 days before that. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, a couple of days before. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Now, my information may be wrong here, because it's been a while since I looked at it. And, you know, of course, with time, we forget some things. But anyway, so in any case, shortly after that, everything in his lab, all of his work, disappeared very shortly after his death. And, of course, now a lot of it is brought back. And Dr. Stephen Greer from the Orion Project did contact me and let me know that a lot of it is back, which is good.
Wow, excellent. Yeah, there's such a creative entrepreneurial spirit among peoples around the world, like inventors. Like, it's like these elites are going to have more and more trouble suppressing this. Like, it's like this crisis in the life of humankind, I think, is going to bring forward all these new generations of inventions to solve the problems, like with energy and fuel and healthcare. I mean, healthcare is another area. Whenever anyone comes up with a cancer cure, he's bound to be murdered or blacklisted or banned or something within a few years. It's like they want to monopolize everything, and it's like the Rockefeller-owned pharmaceutical mafia. They don't want to help people through the pharmaceutical industry. They just are interested in making money and suppressing methods that would enable people to be healthy, like natural cures. Like, they have these great big H1N1, which is firstly likely their own invented flu that they're going to release in the first place. And then they're going to give these inoculations, which all kinds of toxins in it cause all kinds of ill effects. And the whole time, if they were really concerned about the citizenry, they'd just make vitamin E widely available and help, you know, give people vitamin D, and just other health supplements. They wouldn't turn to these poisonous inoculations. Like, this is a huge threat, is all these inoculations.
I would agree, and you know, I'm gonna take the opportunity, and of course, I'm gonna promote the Carnicom Institute here when I get the chance. And here's the thing, a lot of people when they think about Carnicom Institute, they think about chemtrails or Morgellons, and that's the extent of it, it seems to be, right? But like you know, and as you know, that we're dealing with bioengineering and geoengineering, and that encompasses, a wide variety of subjects and topics. Ranging from vaccinations to GMOs to different healths and vitamins to emerging diseases, recombinant diseases, engineered diseases, engineered organisms, heart programs, Lois program, you know,
the RAP program, the last one? After HARP, you said?
Lois. Lois is a HARP-like project, actually, that's been going on mostly in Europe, and LOIS is the acronym.
Oh yeah,
and it's like HARP except much much bigger.
Oh,
yeah. Mm-hmm. So, but anyway, so that you know that's one of the things we're dealing with. But what we're trying to do now with the Carnicom Institute and is to bring together all the different fields of study, the different topics, you know, and different authorities and many different people from all over the world and to under one roof and with the idea to share knowledge, to disseminate that knowledge to the world. And, you know, if the people are willing and come on board with us, then to form an international body so that then we can then seek and implement remedy to bring an end to what's going on. And that may include legal action, among other things.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm truly excited about this because, I mean, now, Christopher, there are people coming in from all different walks of life, from different backgrounds and from different fields, and they're coming in and sharing what they know in their own fields, you know, including medical doctors who have stepped out of the system because they see the healthcare system as very sick and very dysfunctional. And now we have doctors coming in and giving out the information, like, here, you know, this is how to live, you know. Some of them have lost their licenses, and they don't care because they are doing what's right. And I'm honored to serve with them. Like people like Dr. Lorraine Hurley, Dr. Will Spencer, or Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. She hasn't confirmed it yet, but she seems interested. And she's an outspoken person against vaccinations.
Lorraine Day is an amazing. Are you familiar with her? She's an amazing speaker.
Actually, I've heard her name, but I haven't gotten hold of her yet. That's part of my job is to go out and get these people. So
yeah.
I'm kind of a recruiter of sorts.
Yeah, excellent.
Yeah, and so I'm excited because, I mean, you know, we're getting people from all different walks of life, from different backgrounds, and we're pulling it together. It's happening. However,
do you have a website that people can go to view the Carnicom?
Yeah.
Or institute?
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you. The Carnicom Institute, the website is www.carnicominstitute.org, and I can spell it if you need that.
Yeah, it's spelled Carnicom. Yeah.
Sure. Carnicom. That's Carnicom.
Good.
And of course,
yeah, that's how I had it.
That's the main site, and of course we have two other sites, and the first would be www.carnicom.com, and that's basically a library of Clifford's independent research and his work, and you can scroll down and basically scrutinize his work. And the third is www.biogeoengineering.org, and that's that website was put up to to basically marry our efforts to hold this International Biogeoengineering Conference in 2011.
Oh, and, it's this plan for this next year. Great.
Yes. Yeah. This is one of the plea, if I may have your permission to put out there to your listeners, and that's there are so few of us working on this, and the task is monumental. It is pivotal to our future, I believe. But we are few. There are so few of us doing so much, and not only that, but there's so much talent in our institute now and our affiliates that's being put on the back burner to do very tedious, menial work that other people could do if they are willing to volunteer. So anybody who believes what we're doing or who believes that there needs to be a change and wants to help and wants to secure a better future for their children, and for their children's children, and for themselves even, please just offer your services, offer your help, because we really, really need help. And
Calvin, would the best way for them to go to one of those websites and contact you through one of those websites?
Absolutely. Great. On the Carnicom Institute website, there are different tabs, and I'm looking at one right now. Of course, there's a contact tab. Contact us tab, and you can contact us through that. Or there's a I have a Facebook group started, and it's called International Bio/Geoengineering Conference, and that's a group, so people can sign up on that and offer, they can do postings and videos on it. I'm perfectly okay with that, and of course they can send messages. There's another email. Sorry.
Calvin, I just want to get that again. International Bio/Geo
Engineering Conference.
Conference, okay. Sorry.
That's a Facebook group. Yeah.
Yeah, great.
And now there's another email. It's info@biogeoengineering.org. And so
Is it /, or something?
No, all one word.
Just bio geo.
Biogeoengineering.org.
Okay.
And that's the email for that. And of course, again, we need people. We really do need people. We're actually getting all this wonderful talent and people who have all kinds of information to make a difference. And unfortunately, things are being put on the back burner because we're not moving forward, because we need, of course, like every organization, you need people to do the groundwork. You need the people to do the legwork. And right now, really, there are basically just three of us doing it, and we have one webmaster. So, we could use another webmaster, for example, and many other different talents. In fact, we're even considering a radio show to help offset what we're doing.
Oh, yeah, excellent. Right?
Yeah. So, but anyway, we definitely need help. Do you have any questions about what we're trying to do, or where we're heading with that?
And we still have half hour. You can hold on stay with us for some more time.
Okay, sure thing.
Yeah, great. So you're hoping next year then to have this conference, which would be available, accessible through the internet?
Yes, and that's the wonderful thing, because. Because we are bringing different people from around the world, of course, through the, across North America, across from east to west of Canada and United States, of course, you have varying time zones. And we're pulling in people from Greece, the anti-nuclear groups, for example, we're pulling them in from France, Greece, Belgium, England, Iceland, Sweden, Australia, New Zealand, all over the place. I've yet to get some contingencies from Asia yet, but I'm trying my hardest. And we decided, because again, we're limited, from many different factors. Of course, funding being one. Trying to pull off a physical meeting as such, the idea that Clifford and I and a few other members of the Institute decided was that if we our web-based meeting, we can do it over several days, over several different time zones, and to accommodate everybody.
Mm-hmm.
That's for a couple of reasons. It accommodates people. It reduces costs. Also, given that the fact that there's these security measures and security restrictions on travel.
Yeah.
Which I think of.
Security.
It's a load of what, right?
I know.
Yeah. So, but at least this gives us the option of not to be concerned about that. And,
yeah.
We don't have to worry about passports, we don't have to worry about checks, and, of course, we don't have to worry about being falsely arrested, for our, anybody who's going to participate.
Yeah.
So, again, so and we can do that through the through online and over several days, and we're even recording these sort of meetings, and, again, with the idea, of course, to put a DVD to give out or to give it, of course, and we're looking for donations. And, and depending on the success of this, we may have subsequent ones over, the coming years, or even physical meetings at some point. And again, the ultimate goal, like I said earlier, is to form an international body from people all around the world, from groups all around the world. I mean, it's not just individuals. These are organizations as well that I'm trying to bring under one roof. And then we can then have a great set of teeth to actually challenge the different levels of governments and organizations around the world, including the UN, by the way, which to me is a farce.
Yeah, it is.
And in fact, I'm not even going to go there because we can go off on so many different tangents. But anyway, so again, the idea then is to then seek the different remedies that we can come up with, to implement those remedies and force those implementations and to do what's right. And then if we have to, again, we'll take action, whether it's legal action or whatever the case may be, seizing assets, I heard you mention on some other shows.
Yeah.
There's a lot we can do, and I look forward to the challenge of seeing this through, and I'm excited. I think that this can bring the world together on some level. I certainly am positive about it.
Yeah, we need that. We need to, reach across national boundaries. And I mean, it's like the people of the world, we face a common enemy. And an organization like yours not only exposes all the things that have been done, but also looking towards solutions and recommendations and having the expertise, if we ever had some control, what could be done? How could we manage these things that have been done? What is the impact of all the chemtrail spraying we've been going through for 10 years now?
Oh, it's more than 10 years, Christopher.
Yeah, is it 15?
Oh, I would suspect even longer than that.
Well, and you just see the explosion of Alzheimer's. I think that's a main cause of Alzheimer's now.
And many other different ailments, right?
Neurodegenerative disorders. Because we're being sprayed with neurotoxins.
Yeah, a lot of what's in that, by the way, as most people know, you have the strontium, your barium, your aluminum oxides, and so on and so forth. And they're toxins alone, and not just to the biological system of organic beings, animals and creatures and so on and so forth, but I mean even the fauna of the world. Again, Dr. Will Spencer is doing a study, soil samples and how it's affecting trees and so on and so forth. For example, on the west coast of the United States there, and I think it was up in Oregon, that a lot of the trees are dying because of the levels of aluminum. Right. Look at Mount Shasta. Did you know Mount Shasta, which, by the way, is supposed to be one of the most pristine tourist sites, in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
From the numbers I have, now I'm going to throw the ballpark because I don't have the exact figures in front of me. But I think that the levels of aluminum found in their soil is about 3,000% above normal of what it should be. And this is a pristine environment, supposed to be.
I know. It's just so disgusting. You just wonder, these people, these elites are so weirded out. Holy smokes, these people are whacked. Like, I know I'm a clinical psychologist and I know the DSM-3, but I mean, it just comes back to the fact these people are whacked. They really are. They're so sick, and they've carried this on through generations. And we'll come back to the Carnicom Institute a little bit, but I did want to pick up on something you mentioned earlier, you know, where you were commenting that, well, this has gone on for decades. And that's, when I look at Canadian history now, you know, the longest serving Canadian prime minister was Lion Mackenzie King. And you know who his best friend was? John D. Rockefeller.
Really?
Yeah, and this is in Macau's book, The Illuminati, which is a brilliant book. Macau, Henry Macau, are you familiar with his name?
Is that's a Jewish author, isn't he?
He's a Jewish author from Winnipeg, who's trying to say, you know, like, he's saying, you know, the problem isn't Jewish people, it's this criminally corrupted Zionist element within the Jewish community, you know, and he exposes all their crimes and involvement in the world wars, and he's a very brilliant writer. But anyway, that was, it really stood out to me when I saw that. Oh, yeah, because I realized, the conservative and liberal parties really have been controlled for decades. And it's like when people come into these groups at lower levels, they really have no idea themselves, eh? That's how I see it. And then they get up, and when they get in positions of power, then, well, maybe they're blackmailed or threatened, or it's so overwhelming they can't do anything. So everybody kind of ends up going along with it. But the whole problem, it's not just that, like Harper and all these conservatives are terrible, evil men, which I believe they are anyway, but but it's also that it's systemic. It's systemic. And people get in and they don't really understand what they're involved with until they're way over their heads. And now everything is so monstrous that everybody has to hide in fear because it's so monstrous. I mean, what if the Canadian people really knew that the Canadian government has lied to us about 9/11 and the war in Afghanistan? What if the American people knew their government had done that? You know, it's like what's been done to us as citizens is so over the top. It's so overwhelming. But I do have sympathy and understanding in ways of these people. It's like I was trying to say earlier, I don't know if you caught my comments on the media, but I was saying probably when people go into the media, like they want to, you know, be a reporter and they imagine like sharing the truth. But then they get into the media and realize how thoroughly criminally corrupted it is. And I was describing an encounter with a media person where I said, oh, you should be ashamed of what you do. And she said, we are. And I think the same if you looked at Canadian MPs, like, you know, or many Americans in the government, you know, in a way these people are ashamed of what they do.
Yeah.
But they're also cowards.
Did you ever see that expose that Wendy Messley from CBC did on the HARP program?
Did you
see that?
From the CBC?
Yeah, she actually did a fabulous job. I was actually shocked in a good way and very surprised. And you can probably Google it and view it.
What's the name?
Well, anyway, yeah, so she did an expose on the HARP program up there, and I must say she did a fabulous job. I mean, the different guys, I should say, especially the director of the project, he did more double talk than what you would, you know. It was actually funny, and to be honest, I even felt a little pity for the guy because he looked like a total idiot.
Yeah.
And but here's the thing, though. You know, I've tried to contact Wendy Messley since that on several occasions, and you know, in light of what we're doing with the Carnicom Institute, to invite her to participate in meetings, to maybe to consider looking further into what is being done with the HARP program and other related technologies like ELF and, you know, LOWIS and LOPAR and many others out there. And, you know, I truly do hound them, and I've yet to get a single response, even a no. I mean, a no would be better than nothing.
Yeah,
and
it resolves it.
And that's just, I mean, you know, and a lot of people out there, like, they put a lot of kudos, for example, in Jesse Ventura and what he does with his conspiracy theory, right? You know, he has a show, and he does some nice shows. He just doesn't go far enough.
No.
Same thing. I've been pushing and pushing, trying to reach them, and they will not return calls.
And see, I think the media is going to start having to try to pretend that they're more objective. Like, you see how, who was that fellow who had Jesse Venge? Oh no, who had the architects and engineers for 9/11 Truth?
I think Geraldo.
Geraldo. And see, in a way now they're going to start letting little bits out of it because people are just realizing how corrupted they are.
But the scary thing is they'll mix a little gold with dross, you know?
They'll
throw enough disinformation and mistruths in there to confuse the issue, to confuse the facts. And then eventually, you know, with the hope that people will give up. So, you know, we have to be ever vigilant. And I mean, we as people, you know, period. Never trust. I mean, don't even listen to everything. You know, yeah, listen to what I say, but don't take what I say for granted as being the ultimate truth. Look into it. I mean, I may be wrong. I may have been given information that was mixed up, you know, or, you know, whatever the case may be. So doubt everything. Check into everything. But at least open your eyes and look. For God's sakes, look. And then, you know, if you believe something, act upon it.
Yeah. I mean, we have the most important route is the awakening of humankind and forming links around the world where we take on our common enemy. And I can see these groups starting to fall apart when they begin to realize that people are starting to eye them, that they're involved. Like, I see the media is totally criminally corrupted. So the people in the media have committed terrible crimes against the United States. You know, like, in my view, they helped script 9/11. You know, they created these images of the plane. They had staged witnesses. You know, to think the enormity of the crimes of these people against you, and they thinking just get away with it endlessly, you know, and they just get paid enough money and they got enough fancy clothes and such that they go along with it. And I really think we need those of integrity in our police and intelligence and military. We need people on the inside to be turning, to just be saying, no, enough is enough. You know, there's like I showed on my website, you can go up there and you can see the chemtrails spraying over Parliament Hill. Well, the Canadian government is being sprayed with the chemtrails too.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, it's so funny. Yeah.
Actually, I spoke with my member of Parliament actually about 2 or 3 weeks ago regarding the geoengineering and which of course deals with you know, the aerosol spraying. And he was actually very interested in meeting with me. And but the funny thing is, and I think I spoke with you about this before, because I approached him on different, you know, many different topics, from monetary reform to fisheries policies to, you know, a whole plethora of topics. And of course, the most recent being the bio and geoengineering. And on several occasions, they set up appointments. And you know something, Christopher? Every single time, the day before the meeting, always canceled.
Yeah.
And I think, and here's the thing, you know, I think what people have to do, including politicians, including journalists, everybody who has their hands in this, whether benignly, innocently, whatever the case may be, is stop living in fear. The minute you stop living in fear, it doesn't matter anymore. You don't care if you lose your job. You don't care if people laugh at you. You don't care about the ridicule. You don't care about the consequences. And that's where I am. And that's where most of us are, you know, those of us who are seeking the truth and trying to do something. We don't care.
Yeah.
We're not afraid. And I don't care if they take my life, honestly, because there's going to be another Calvin coming up behind me and doing the same thing.
Yeah.
I
feel similarly. Like, I felt under threat through the past 5 years for my activism and outspokenness. And to me, it's a matter of I have to attain my soul in my life. And I can't do that by sinking in fear and giving into this. So even if my life is taken, which I felt at times definitely at risk, at least in the end times, at least I will have made an effort. And I feel acquiring my soul is more important to me than acquiring more money or whatever. As you say, like, you know, there are, I was just talking to Doug at BBS Radio before our show, Doug and Don Newsome run BBS, and Seth, and he was saying the same thing. He doesn't feel any fear anymore. It's like after a while you wake up to it all and you kind of settle into it, and you continue to breathe and you continue to be strong. And yeah, that's who I see. You know, I believe we're warriors of a new age, because I believe the warriors of the new age are what I would call upright of heart, which means that in our hearts we believe more in truth, justice, beauty, love, compassion, sympathy for humankind, things like that. Whereas these psychopathic elites, there's something severely damaged in their hearts. I mean, I believe that they actually become possessed by higher dimensional beings through hyperspace in their hearts. I actually believe Satan controls people through their hearts. I believe there's actual physics to all this, too. And that's what happens to these people. They sell their souls, literally. And
what I don't understand about all these people who perpetrate these many different atrocities upon us, you know, whether it's a monetary system, whether it's, aerosol spraying, you know, biological, diseases and so on and so forth. It's self-destructive, my God. It's themselves. It's their children. It's their children's children. It's everything. I mean, we're all interconnected. And it breaks my heart, you know. I do get frustrated from time to time, because I look around, you know, and I see people who are oblivious, and it breaks my heart to know that I can't save them yet, you know. And I know, I mean, every day I see that, you know, they're sucking in poisonous air. They're eating foods that are not good for them. They're getting diseases that they don't need to get, you know.
Yeah.
And it's frustrating, and I don't understand how people who, for the sake of money or whatever foolish reason, will allow this to go on and to be able to sleep at night. I just can't fathom it. It's beyond my sense of morality to understand that.
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah, how could they do it? Like, what is it that's so deficit in their being, self-existence, kind of, that they could go along and be part of this? It's a very interesting question. I mean, they live in denial. They kind of denying what they're really doing and what's really being done.
But those who know, that's what shocks me. Those who know what they're doing.
Yeah. I don't know if we have maybe a call in, or maybe our other guests who we weren't able to connect with. Do we have someone who just came in and joined us?
Yes, you do. Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Oh, Don.
How are you?
This Calvin is my friend Don Nikoloff, who has an amazing show on BBS Radio, which I listen to 5 days a week when I can, Evident Footprints, at 1:00 Eastern at night. And Don's had me on the show repeatedly. Welcome, Don. Thanks for joining in. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to both of you. I'm fascinated with the discussion, and I want to offer any help I can bring to the table. Just wanted to get that message out. Don't want to really disrupt the flow, which is going so nicely.
It's an honor to have you with us here, Don. And Calvin, please, Don, have Calvin on and follow up with on the show on the Carnicom Institute and their plans for this geoengineering. You can see how well-spoken Calvin is here, and it would be an excellent show.
Yes, absolutely. I can bring a team of people on board to help you as well. And that's the main reason for the call.
By the way, everybody,
to acknowledge what you're doing and let you know you're not alone. There are many people who are bringing this message to the forefront, and we'd like to help. So,
I just want to interrupt for a second, if I'm interrupting.
Comes to mind immediately. He's been involved in this since the outset. And he's a polymer chemist as well, which is very valuable. So,
I'll email Calvin with your email address, Don.
Okay, that'd be wonderful.
Can everybody hear me?
And, And I'll bow out.
I cannot hear
again,
Don.
Can anybody hear me?
Very low audible noise in the background. So
can anybody hear me?
Me a question. I apologize if I don't answer. I don't hear anything other than yourself, Chris.
Don, did you hear Calvin's comment?
Yes, I did. I was just wishing you a Merry Christmas, and please, yes, forward my information to him, and let's get in touch, and I'll be delighted to have him on my show.
Great. Thanks, Don.
Okay.
Thanks,
Merry Christmas.
And we're going to have a good year, Don. I think the tide's going to turn next year. I really feel it.
It's turning now.
Yeah.
So, all right. God bless you both.
I think we're at a critical mass of awakening and aware people.
Yeah, Calvin, that's Don Nikoloff, and I recommend his show at night. I've been on there a number of times myself, and you didn't hear what he was saying, Don, but he wants to be in contact with you, and he has. He said he has a number of people who could be helping you.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, so after the show, I'll email you Don's address and open up a dialogue. And he's also saying he'd be pleased to have you on his show.
And I look forward to it.
Yeah, yeah.
Anything and everything is helpful.
Say again? Everything is helpful.
Oh, anything and everything is helpful.
Yeah, absolutely. And we also, you know, we need to be on the attack ourselves on many fronts at the same time, eh? Like, I really see that. Like, and then we need to come together, all these different groups that have different pieces of the puzzle.
Oh, agreed. And again, that's one of the idea behind what we're, the inception that we have of the Institute is, again, to bring in all these different sources, you know, under one roof. And to do what's right, and you know, because we can really reach into many different fields, right? And that's the idea behind it. As you know, Clifford, I was asked to run locally on a provincial level, but I've since decided not to because, this work is a little more important. I mean, don't get me wrong, you know, I agree with local work and politics and so on and so forth, but this larger scale, this international scale. Work to me is much more important.
Yeah,
and I forget where I was going with that. So
it's huge. The chemtrails and weather modification, these are huge problems that are causing planetary survival issues.
Yeah,
and
also look at the genetically modified organics or you know foods, right? Look at maybe you read a policy a little while ago for the government. On you know how we use here in the West antibiotics to treat bacterial infections, right? Which is ludicrous. Mm-hmm. In the former Russian state of Georgia, since the 1940s, they've been using bacteriophages, which basically in layman's is the nemesis of bacteria, which are viruses, and they've been using that. They've got it down to science where every bacteria basically has a virus that's out there that killed it. So their medical system uses injection of bacterial phages for bacterial infection treatment, and so they inject it into the patient. The viruses, which are rather benign, go through the system, seek the specific bacteria, invade it, multiply and kill the bacteria, and move on to the next body of bacteria, until eventually all the bacterium are dead. The bacteria are dead, and then of course because of lack of food. The virus ended up dying off themselves, and then the person is healed, and then there's no resistance from bacteria because, of course, it's natural. There's no reliance on antibiotics. There's that's one thing. I was trying to bring in with the political party I'm involved with here, and it looks promising actually. So I mean, you know, these sort of things. It's a wide variety of issues that all need to be dealt with simultaneously. And for the betterment of man and for the betterment of everybody in general.
Mm-hmm.
More people start waking up.
I'm influenced by Native teachings, and Native teachings it's taught that like we're responsible for seven generations. like, yeah, any generation, you're responsible. And I think, what have we done? What are we leaving the next generations? Like, we're a psychiatric new world order system, you know? So we have to, people around the world, I mean, we need to stand forward, and we need to be organizing on all different levels and facing the multitude of issues here.
Absolutely, and agreed. You know, many of us have children. You have children, I have children, and I'm, you know, sure your partner there has children. And part of me is sorrowful because I brought them into this world of increasing, what's the word I'm looking for here? But anyway, their lifestyles, are, you know, they're going to get worse and worse and worse and worse. And I'm sorrowful that I brought them into that. Unfortunately, I didn't know back then what I know now. But that being said, what I do know, I now have a responsibility to do what's right, and I'm going to do whatever it takes. And like I told you, and you know already, I've lost a lot doing what I do, and I've suffered a lot. And I will not now. I mean, now I'm not going to stop. From everything I've ever done and ever gone through, I'm not going to stop now. I can't stop now.
Yeah, that happens to us, eh? And you get it. Like, I like living in truth. And I feel that what I'm doing, it's out of love. It's out of caring for humankind on this planet. And it's out of caring for the planet and for beauty. And once you wake up, you can't go back, you know. We have to stay in it. And you know, our souls will be forged through this struggle. And in a way, there's a light at the end of the tunnel. If we could ever take back our countries from these elites worldwide, we would have a new age. Like you were saying before, there's so much wealth and abundance on this earth. There is no reason for anyone to go hungry or not to have a place to live or meaningful employment or any of these problems. All these problems of humankind have been intentionally created by these people.
Yeah,
so that they can impoverish us and steal billions and trillions through the healthcare industries that do so little good for people.
Oh my! You need a show that runs at least 4 hours because so much we can get into. But you know, of course, we can have subsequent shows and other topics, but. Of course, maybe most of your listeners aren't aware, but obviously we're talking very general. We can go into many different topics on different tangents, and never even over several shows deal with everything that you know that we're aware of and that we know. One point I also want to make too, Clifford, if I may. You know, I talked about not living in fear, but I also think, yes,
Christopher, you call me Clifford twice.
Oh, sorry about that. Remember, I meet with Clifford several times a week, and so
that's okay.
My apologies, Christopher. I'm sorry about that.
Unnecessary.
Okay, but I was going to say, you know, I would talk about how we should not live in fear and live in love, but also I think, in tying with that we've got to learn to forgive. If we can forgive, that first of all is liberating for us more than the person being forgiven.
Yeah.
And I think we have to learn to do that too.
I really agree because we can't have another cycle of like. Well, did you hear last week the Prince Charles and Camilla were driving and people started saying off with their heads?
Oh, really?
Did you hear that? That's so funny. That's so funny, yay! Eh?
That's fact, is it? Really?
Yeah. They surrounded their car in England, the students protesting, and they somehow surrounded their car, and they started saying, off with their heads.
Oh, my.
And in a way, it's funny, but as you say, like, we don't want that, because I'm very sympathetic to these people. You know, I worked in prisons for 12 years, and I met people who had done horrible crimes. But in all my experience, whenever I had counseling with someone and I really understood all that had led them to those crimes, I always understood how that could happen and how in ways they also were victims.
That's
not
right.
that disqualifies what they did or makes it okay. It doesn't. And I think the same with our politicians and bankers and corporate elites who've got caught up in these schemes. And in a way, I see them as goats. Sometimes they talk about the sheep and the goats. Like the sheep are the general public who are led along by the nose, and they believe what they see on TV and their favorite newscaster and so on. Those are the sheep people. But then you have the goats. And the goats, that they're all the hierarchy of Satan's servants. All those people who have been enlisted into this new world order, and they're carrying out, they're the minions of the new world order system. And in a way, those people are even more entrapped in their position. Imagine being in this kind of position and living the lies that these people lead. You see, that's why politicians have to divorce themselves so much from the public, and the media people do the same. They stay in their own groups because they're really so ashamed of the things that they're doing that they have to associate within their own smaller groups.
And again, that's why I think we have to show them love and forgiveness, and also I also believe that everybody out there, no matter what they've done, they can be redeemed. I truly do believe that. I mean, I've experienced that in my own life, not for myself, but where I've forgiven many different people have redeemed themselves. Others haven't, but I think everyone deserves the right to have the chance to redeem themselves and to be the people that they were meant to be. Yeah. So I will always hold on to that hope for everyone, no matter what.
Yeah, it's interesting because it strikes me at times like one of their concepts is the idea of world government, and in a way like. When I was still naive before I woke up to all the criminality, I always kind of supported the UN. I thought, oh, yeah, we need an international body that will kind of stop wars and try to mediate, international disputes and things. And I still, in a way, agree with that we need not a world government, but a world council or something. But then, see, what we didn't realize that was from its very inception, the UN was corrupted by the Rockefellers donated the land, and really the whole time the UN never really represented the people of the earth. It always just represented the financial power interests of these elites. But in a way, like, there are certain things, like the idea some people don't want to have an identity card, that everybody's issued a similar identity card. But, I mean, to me, in a way, well, that's perfectly reasonable. Why not? Why everybody can carry a card? There is reason for that. Like, some of the things aren't necessarily bad. I mean, they take everything and they use it in a manipulative and psychopathic manner. But there are some things. Like, I don't see any problem with people having an identity card. I think that's reasonable. What's unreasonable about that? Most people have them anyway,
It's like anything, You can take a knife or you can take an axe. You can go in the woods and cut down a tree to have firewood. Or you can take an axe and murder somebody. You can take, everything can be used for good or evil. It depends on the people wielding the power of use. And unfortunately, those who are wielding the power are sick and demented.
Yeah.
And we need to put back in place those people who have a genuine heart, those people who live in love, those people who don't live in fear, and to do what's right. And that's what we need.
Yeah.
I know you're probably coming close to the end of your show, are you? Or?
Well, I just had a message from Doug that there's open time after us, so he said we can go on for as long as we want.
So
we can keep on going. We'll take a few minutes and kind of wind up, and I'll probably leave and have some final comments, too, just to close out the show. So I didn't want to take out too long. I'm certainly glad I kept this Christmas appointment today and had this show. And thank you, Calvin, for, being here. And I'm so pleased that we had Don Nikoloff call in and wanting to contact you and try to help you and the Carnicom Institute. That's just so valuable. So, okay.
I want to thank you for having me on, by the way.
I'm going to just go back and I'm going to give out, I'll just give out www.carnicominstitute.org or simply carnicom.com. And also biogeoengineering.org. So those are the three websites. And, yeah, well, we'll have you back, Calvin, in the new year. And it's nice to feel that community we have really among us, kind of new age warriors of the new age, I like to think of us. Eh? It's like a warrior, but you don't, you know, you're not kind of some robotic madman who's going to do any criminal thing you're told by your superior. But it's like we want truth and love in the world, and we're willing to put our lives on the line to help bring this about. We're tired of this criminality that's pervaded our society. And we're wanting people to turn. Why don't any of these elites ever want to be benevolent? Eh? Like, why don't these people who have such money, why don't they ever want to do anything to help humankind? They never do, eh? It's like the Rockefellers.
Do you know Bill Gates supports eugenics?
Yeah. Oh yeah, well he wants to help reduce. He had a YouTube video where he's saying if they can do their inoculations in South Africa, it's going to help reduce by 10% the population.
Yeah,
you know, they're sterilizing people. You know, these people there's something so wicked and disturbed in them. They're pitiful, really. You wake up and you realize that these elites, you know, I call them the scum that rose to the top of the waters of life.
It's a misnomer, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is. It's like the lowest of the low. You know, it's like they have every kind of depravity. They want to degradate people, sexuality, destroy families, destroy religions, impoverish people, mass murder people. There's just such wickedness. It's beyond the comprehension of most people who I think are more heart-centered and care for their neighbors and care for their countries and want justice. And yeah, it's a mad world.
Yeah, absolutely. I would agree.
Sometimes I think I compare our situation to the Lord of the Rings book, volume 2 of that was the Two Towers, like the New York Towers, and these madmen, the Mordorks or whoever they are, they've kind of taken over the world. But in the Lord of the Rings, you have all these warriors from around the world who are coming together and hearing the call and coming forward. And that's happening around the world now, and we're facing this war of the world at the moment on planet Earth. It's humankind against these psychopathic deviant elites. And that's the real war. They are the real terror. And the book 3 of The Lord of the Rings is The Return of the King. And to me, some people would say, oh, that's like the return of Christ. And one can definitely take it as that. Or, to me, the return of the king means the restoration of righteousness on this planet. Like the old idea of a king who was a benevolent power, like a real king, not some pervert kind of who wants to sacrifice children and eat people and who wants to be a virus to reduce the world's population. You're familiar with Prince Charles's quote, that he, if about reincarnation, if he had a chance to come back, he'd like to come as a virus to help reduce the world's population. Yeah, don't you just want this guy as the next king of England, eh?
Yeah, really. Actually, I would like for there to be no more kings, personally, because, I mean, I think everybody should be their own sovereign individuals. We here in the West especially, we think that we are masters of our own futures and of our own destinies in our current system. Oh, my God, how blind and misled are we? But that being said, I think that every person on this planet, every man, woman, and child, are fundamentally and, for lack of better words, God-given right to be self-sovereign, and we should, every one of us should have that. And I'd love to see that in my day, to see that that future for our children. I would love that before I die, certainly.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Calvin, so much. And we'll definitely have you back. And I'm going to hook you up with Don Nikoloff, and I'm going to be listening that night when you're on Don's show. And thank you for your efforts and people. If those people out there, there's so many ways in which people can contribute through hours, efforts, communications, monies, all these kinds of things. We have to come together around the world and support projects like this, like the Carnicom project here, a global conference on geoengineering. And pulling together all these top scientists who can then start providing solutions, because there's so many innovative scientists out there, and all their innovations have been squelched because of the power structure. But Don Nikoloff mentioned Mike Castles here earlier. I'm not sure if you heard his name. But him, just a whole series of scientists who have something to contribute, who have been squelched. And if we could ever take back the reins of controls in our nations, or have our governments turn, that's what I'm hoping, that our governments will turn and do it softly, like just wake people up gradually and turn from these deviant ways. Mm-hmm. And if that can spread, or the police, they realize they're being poisoned too, and their children are being poisoned, and why would they serve this criminal system? For what purpose? You know, we need our police and military and intelligence community to stand forward, just like we need honorable doctors to say no to inoculations and not just go along to make their extra monies. You know, we need people turning throughout all sectors of our society and just say no to the madness.
Exactly. I used to serve in the military, and while I was there, I was not a good fit because my heart and my spirit did not fit with that blatant, blind, faith-following mentality. Mm-hmm. And I was considered a maverick, no doubt there, right? And sometimes I had been reprimanded on several occasions for speaking my mind and doing what's right, and I had no qualms with that whatsoever. And that being said, I did not fit with the military because
you're too individualistic. They don't want people who maintain their moral integrity, because our military has become so corrupted at superior levels. I have a son, Peter, who, when he was young, his teacher described him as the most empathic child she had ever met. And my son Peter now has just come back from 6 months in Afghanistan with the Canadian military. And he doesn't like my work because, you know, I'm calling for the superior Canadian military men to be charged with treason. And, you know, in a way, it's like he likes the challenge and such of the military, eh? And, like, he wanted it as a career, you know, and he challenged by it. And then he gets into it, and here's an honorable young man who wants to serve his country, who has love in his heart, and wants to, you know, he thinks he's going to Afghanistan to defend the people. He doesn't realize he's going to Afghanistan because Henry Kissinger regards him as a stupid, dumb animal who can be used as a pawn for the elites. You know, that's why he's going to Afghanistan, and he's been lied to. You know, people can't face this. I know my son, he's like, they almost disown me. They can't really deal with my outspokenness.
Does he know about the, of course, like you said, people think that Afghanistan is being fought over for freedom. Well, that's a load of crap. I would just give the people the freedom to choose what they want. But what it, from the information I've got, what it's really about are the opium fields. The increase of opium since the Americans took over, I think, I don't remember the exact figure, but I think it went from of world production, I think it went from either 10 or 15% of the world production to well into the high 90s. since the Americans, since the war in Afghanistan, you know, had been going on.
Yeah, now that's another thing that's emerged into public awareness, is that our police, like the CIA and these, you know, in Canada, the Queen's Council, and these people themselves have been bringing in and dealing these drugs at the higher level. The whole time they pretend that they're carrying on a war against drugs, and they themselves are the ones who've been bringing the drugs in. It's so insane.
I think, yeah, like, you know, for, again, titles and of like war on terrorism or war on drugs, it's a very misleading use of words, because I think it's correct what they're saying. It is a war on drugs, but the war is this: controlling of the drugs. It's not a war to be rid of some drugs.
Yeah, who controls them? Yeah,
yeah. Who's that? Was a war on who's going to control it?
Yeah,
that's what it's about, I think, right? And same with the war on terror. Yeah. War on terror is not about getting rid of terror. The war on terror is about
creating.
Who's going to control the mediums or the implementation of terror?
Yeah.
Right. But anyway, you know, we can go on, and this is another 2-hour show. We can go on there. And,
but the truth movement is huge, Jay. Like, I know at one point my son, when I like woke up to 9/11, and he kind of came to realize, yeah, it was a fraud, and we've been lied to. But he still thinks he doesn't get it. He doesn't get the larger structure of what's been done. Like, it's systemic corruption that goes back decades or centuries. It's not simply that the guys in power now are all corrupted. That's not the case. It's much more systemic. And it's been, they've infiltrated every aspect of our society. And it's a bit overwhelming, and people need to grow into accepting it and seeing it. Anyway, Calvin, I'm going to let you go, and we'll have you back next year. And thank you for sharing so widely, and especially about your work with the Carnicom Institute.
I want to thank you, too, for letting me be on here. I want to thank you for letting me get to know you and befriending you, and for sharing your heart and share your work as well. And I want to give my blessings to everybody who's out there listening to our voices, and to share our spirit, and I wish you all a Merry Christmas and a Happy Holidays for those who don't keep Christmas. Many blessings to you all.
Great, Calvin. By the way, I hope to make it out and visit you in Newfoundland. I'd love to see Newfoundland. You're close to the coast of Newfoundland, eh?
I'm about 20 feet from the ocean.
Oh, goodness. I hope I can make it out there and visit you next summer. Drive out. I
would certainly love to have you.
And if you're ever in Ontario, you're welcome here anytime, Calvin, if you ever want to get away.
I'll definitely look you up for certain.
Okay, thanks, Calvin.
Hey, take care, guys. Many blessings.
Okay, goodbye. Okay, so, well, that's been quite a show today. That's great, I'm going to just close up, and I'd like to thank BBS and Don and Doug and Seth there at BBS. And I hope people out there, you know, what would we do if we didn't have truth networks like BBS, eh? Support BBS. It's such an invaluable service they perform. And they struggle. All of us in the truth movement, in a way, we all sacrifice so much and struggle to because we believe so strongly in what we do. And I'd like to especially thank Don Nikoloff. And as I say, I thoroughly endorse people. Listen to Don's show, Evident Footprints. I contacted Don months ago because I felt of all radio announcers, I felt he was someone most similar to myself in some of the sentiment he expresses about what's been done to us and you know how important it is that we wake up. So that's Evident Footprints. So we all through the week, 1:00 Eastern. Okay, I'm Christopher Holmes, your mystic scientist, a bit of a rogue scholar out here. I'd like to thank BBS for this last year of shows, and we'll all be on board next year. And let's just pray. Sometimes I read in Madame Blavatsky's Volume 3 of The Secret Doctrine. She explains what white magic is and what black magic is. And she says black magic is magic performed in service of egoic desires or needs, like for wealth or sexual prowess or something. Okay, whereas white magic, Blavatsky explains, in white magic, what you do is you ask the Lord to have forgiveness upon us and to help to bring down the karma of these people upon themselves. So we're just asking God's forgiveness and to bring down their karma upon themselves. So that is my prayer for this next year, that their karma start to be brought down upon themselves, that these people start to be imprisoned for their crimes against humanity. And we have to imagine, what if we could really enforce the anti-terrorism legislation worldwide and seize the assets of these groups worldwide? It would pay off all national debts of all nations on earth. There would be such abundance on the earth. Why would we let a 1% of the world population who commit multiple mass murders, all kinds of atrocious crimes around the world, and we let that 1% own 50% of the world's wealth while hundreds of thousands of people die or are homeless and all these tragic things going on in our world? Let's remember that spirit of Christmas and what Christ was really about. You know, honor all men and women. We're all part of one human family. We all have that God spark within us. And I hope Christians out there, don't be lukewarm Christians. Christ will spew you out. It'll make us sick. Let's take back the churches. Let's remember what Christianity is really about. It's love and sharing. Open your hearts and embrace the world. Don't give in to living in this fear of the New World psychiatric disorder. These people are really so pathetic. They really are. They're Gurdjieff describes them as camouflaging their inner nullity. And in a way, they have that inner nullity. So let's face bravely this new year and ask for God's forgiveness for what we've allowed to be done to our country, and ask for his strength and his power to help turn the course of events to bring these people's karma down upon themselves. Thank you all. Thank you, BBS Radio. Thank you, Calvin, for a very valuable program today. This is Christopher Holmes. We'll be back in 2 weeks. Merry Christmas, and wish you the best for the new year. Next year, this year, 2011, I believe the tide is turning. We're going to turn the tide on them this next year. We all have to double and triple our efforts, and it's coming. The light, there's a light at the end of the tunnel. The truth movement is growing too much. It's too exponentially. And so many people within it now are realizing, oh, they didn't realize what was really going on, but now they're beginning to know. And when you know, then you've got to be responsible. Like I asked those intelligence agents, listen to this show and monitoring us and got us all on their little red list. You know, what is it for you to, what am I trying to say? Well, imagine, just honor your oaths of office. You know, this system does nothing for you or your children. You're being sickened by this. Your children will be. Let's turn the tide on this. There would be a rapture if the people of the world took our planet back from these people. There would be a rapture spread around the world as people woke up and through the media, would have a media that actually told you the truth. You know, imagine that. A media that actually told you the truth and started informing the public. And all those people in the media have been such liars. All of a sudden, they would be freed. They could be what they always wanted to be, real journalists. They didn't want to see so many people get sucked in and they didn't realize what they were doing. But once you know, then this time starts ticking for you. So this year, next year, 2011, we're going to turn the tides on these people. Thank you all. Keep loving your heart. Goodbye. Thank you, BBS. Thank you, Don. Thank you, Calvin. Goodbye.